Hallelujah.
Can you hear me all right? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So as I was in the Word this week, in my daily devotion, I've been in Matthew. So the beginning of the year, I always start through the Bible again. And so I've been in Genesis and Matthew. And looking at seeing a lot of Jesus' ministry beginning and you know what the Gospels are like. He starts out with the birth of Jesus and then his ministry. And I went across a verse in chapter 9 of Matthew. It says 12 and 13. On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice." And I used that for the title of the lesson today. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I want to explore that a little bit, see if we can figure out what God means when he said that, what that means in our lives. And so we're going to be looking at that this morning as we go to the Lord with the message. Father, I thank you today for our time together. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, to be with the church, Lord. And so I just continue to lift them up to you for health, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you have healed me enough that I'm able to preach today and share the word, Lord, what you've brought to me to share with the body of Christ today. So, Lord, give us ears that we may listen and that we'll hear what you have to say today. Pay attention to what you're saying, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's begin. I want to go back and begin in actually Matthew 4. So the actual passage that I'm going to get to is in chapter 9 here in the calling of Matthew, when they called Matthew. But I wanted to go back and at the beginning, when Jesus first started to call his disciples, so we're going to start back in chapter 4. You know that Jesus is just beginning his ministry really here. His time that he has to share with the church there around Nazareth and Jerusalem and the different towns there that he spoke in and ministered in. And so beginning in chapter 4, let's start in verse 1 actually. I just want to look at, this is right after Jesus' baptism. And I just wanted to look at where he was led into the wilderness, the time he spent there with the Father for the 40 days and 40 nights. It says, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry." And I'll just tell you that I've never fasted for 40 days and nights. Now, a lot of you took part with us as we fasted for 21 days last year or before the election. That is a long time to fast as well. But Jesus was fasting here. He was with the Father and spending time with his Father. And it says, after he fasted 40 days and nights, he was hungry. And I actually got hungry before the end of the fast. I kind of got hungry every day. I like the Daniel fast because as a working man, I have to have a little nourishment to be able to keep on working and doing the things that I do. And so I enjoyed, when the Lord calls me to a fast, it's normally the Daniel fast that I do. Kathy said she does that she starts every year with the 21-day Daniel fast. I have not tried that myself every year. But I really enjoyed it the year that we did it as a church. That was just it was just a neat way to get close to God, to just to come into his presence and seek his wisdom as we voted last year. And it was just awesome to see what he did. And so, but Jesus here, after fasting for 40 days and nights, he was hungry. And so the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you'll bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. And I just had a picture of this at the end, when you know he's at the end of his fast, and the Father has just been communicating with him through this whole 40 days. And here at the end, then the angels come and just minister to him, just encourage him. Probably brought him something to eat even, and just to share some time with him there, and took care of him. And then Jesus begins his ministry. My Bible says here in at the beginning of 12 that Jesus begins to preach. So let's go on over now to, I just wanted to share a little bit about the Sermon on the Mount is next here. As you look in your Bibles, you can see, and I've got about 5 pages here of red letter. It's all Jesus, a sermon that he did here, and it's just a really awesome. I'm not going to read it all. I want you to take time to look at this week sometime. But this is just a rundown of how we should live our lives as Christians, how we should walk as godly men and women. It talks about the salt and light. Starts out that with the Beatitudes, and as I use this verse out of Matthew 9, talking about mercy, I desire mercy, and he talks about in the Beatitudes, he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." That one song we sung this morning talked about mercy in it. And how merciful are we? The reason that he brought my attention to all this is, so I'm the kind of guy, I like to visit neighbors and share time with them, but I'll more go to I share a lot more time with godly people than I neighbors who aren't involved in the church. And I'd like to change our thinking a little bit because of the scriptures that we're going to read today, and I think we need to spend time with our ungodly neighbors as well, because how else are we going to share the gospel with them if we don't have a life with them, if we don't have time to spend with them, share time with them? So I would challenge you this morning that that we not only need to spend time with the church, but we also need to spend time with our neighbors who don't go to church, who don't have a walk with the Lord. They maybe don't know the Lord. Maybe they've never heard about Jesus and what he's done for us, that he loves us enough, that he cares for us so much. So all of these verses in red here are talking about the godly and what we have to do. He taught them to pray here in chapter 6, and the Lord's Prayer. Talked about fasting and not to worry and judging others. And we have a bad habit of that as well, judging others so on. So let's go over to chapter 9 now of Matthew, and I'm going to condense it because my voice is not real strong today, and I want to be able to get to the end of this. Patsy told me while I was singing, you better stop singing and save your voice, and I realized as I was singing I was losing it, so I figured I better quit for a little bit. So we're going to begin here, or go to the calling of Matthew in verse 9 of chapter 9. As Jesus went on from there, I missed the one that I wanted to look at over here at the other side. After Jesus, the calling of the first disciple. Let's go back to 4. Sorry about that. And this is as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, and they were in their boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets, so they were also fishermen. So Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So as Jesus was beginning his ministry, I don't know that these guys were even men of the church. They were fishermen, so they definitely were not leaders in the church. Fishermen are normally out on the water every day. They don't, Sunday normally doesn't mean anything to the fishermen that I know anyway. If they're fishermen, they're out fishing. That's their livelihood. They bring fish in every day, and so that there's fresh catch for the restaurants and the people that want to buy fresh fish to eat. So that's the way they make their living. But Jesus was out here just walking along the Sea of Galilee. And so he saw these fishermen and he invited them to follow him. And to my amazement, they just left their nets and followed Jesus. They didn't ask any questions. And I don't know why he would have had any special call on their lives if he looked different than somebody else or why they did that. But this is what we see with Matthew then when we go over to chapter 9 as well. And as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told them. Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. And so not only did he choose fishermen, but he chose a tax collector. And we're not too fond of our tax collectors, are we? And they weren't in these days. And from Scripture, I've gathered that the tax collectors usually kept back a little of what they were collecting for themselves. So that's why nobody liked them. They thought they were not only collecting taxes, but also stealing from the government to live themselves. And so they were with the sinners. They cataloged them with sinners. These tax collectors were somebody that they didn't really like. And this is who Jesus chose to be his disciples. He chose regular people, ordinary folks, not necessarily godly men, but they became godly men by following Jesus just as we do. Many of us, when we were called, were not godly people either. We were all called as sinners. When we came to be with Jesus and came to begin our life with him, we are all sinners saved by grace. So it says they came and ate, and him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, I'm in verse 11 now, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. What this means, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So that's what made me realize that my thinking was wrong, that I need to spend as much time as possible with tax collectors and sinners, or however you want to call your neighbors that don't walk with the Lord. We need to spend time with them so that we can share Jesus with them, so that their lives can be changed as ours were. Because if nobody goes and tells them, they will not know about Jesus at all. I looked up mercy in my dictionary at home. It says it's a refraining from harming or punishing offenders, enemies, persons in one's power, etc. Kindness in excess of what may be expected or demanded by fairness, forbearance, and compassion. So, mercy is what God gave us when we came to Him as sinners. We received His mercy, and so we're also asked to give mercy, to be merciful to those around us. So that's one of the things that I have to learn, is to be merciful and compassionate to those of my neighbors who aren't walking with the Lord, and to begin to spend some time with them. As I was thinking about God's call on our lives and how He has called us to be His disciples, I'm drawn to the last part of Matthew and the last part of Mark, where we have the Great Commission. And let's just go to Matthew 28, to the end of the chapter here now, or the end of the book. And I want to begin at verse 15. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." And I love how he always goes to the mountain, to the mountain of the Lord. It says, "When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age.'" So this is God's commission to the church, to us as His disciples as well, to go to all the world and make disciples of all nations. We need to start right at home. When we're going to all the world, that's where we can make the biggest impact. That's why we have a ministry with missionaries, that they do go around the world. So we are involved in that as well, through the Gideons and through the missionaries that we support here at Open Arms. But the most good that I can do myself is right here at home with my neighbors. So I need to make time to go and show them the love of Jesus Christ. Then at the end of Mark as well, Mark chapter 16, it basically is saying the same thing. And so I looked through all the Gospels. Just these first two are the only ones that really have this great commission for the church, for His disciples. And I want to begin reading here in verse 16 of Mark, or verse 14 of chapter 16. It says, "Later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues, and they will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. So this last verse here tells me that as we go, as we share Jesus with others, that he will perform the work of his word. His word, our word will be confirmed by his, by the word and by the signs that accompany it. So he'll give us, there'll be signs that follow as we go. And these signs will follow believers. We're going to drive out demons. We're going to speak with tongues. I'm not sure why he put pick up snakes with their hands in here, because I don't like to do that. I'm probably not going to pick up snakes. I'll just tell you. I'm not sure why he put that in. Apparently, that's something that was happening during this their time on earth here. But I don't really care to pick up snakes. I did as a youngster. I would get them out of the creek and play with them, but I don't anymore. I'm not as paranoid as my wife, but I still just don't like snakes. So, but just know that that God is as he gives us someone to speak to, he'll give us the words to talk to them, so that they will know of his power and his blessing on the church. And so, as we go to share our lives with those around us, he'll give us the words to say when we're with them. And he'll give us wisdom to know how to share the gospel with them. It might take just being a friend for a while, just being a friend, an acquaintance. Just get to know them, and then share your life and the life of Jesus with them. So just as you go this week, think about your neighbors. Think about spending time with them and sharing your life with them, so that they too can know that Jesus is Lord, that he loves them. So if, as they come for a final song today, if any of you have a prayer need, Jesse and I will be here to pray with you. Lift up the church. You can see how many are missing today. There's a lot of whole families going because of sickness. I'm starting to feel much better, so I'm planning on being able to go to work this week. And so, but lift up the church. Just lift them up, that God will heal the body of Christ, and we'll all be able to come back together next week.